The first reading is from the Book of Psalms, chapter 118, beginning in verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
My dear friends in Christ, the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and will send it back here immediately." And when they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside the street, and they untied it, and some of those standing there said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when they had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The Gospel of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we ask for your mercies this morning. We ask for the Holy Spirit to meet with us and to lead us and to open our hearts to hear your word. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to realize that we are not the center of all things, that you have called us as the King of love into the kingdom of your love. You have freed us and saved us, not so that we can dominate others, not so that we can make much of ourselves and put ourselves at the center of all things, but that you might be the center of all things and we would respond to your love by loving others, by making much of you and caring for those who are unable to care for themselves. Lord Jesus, we ask these things in your name. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at Matthew 11, 1 through 11. And as we look at what's happening here, we know what Palm Sunday is, and we've heard, I'm sure, many Palm Sunday sermons, but sometimes I think we forget sort of what's happening and what was going on Palm Sunday. What was the expectation of the people who were there waving their palms and throwing their coats down on the road as Jesus comes riding in on a colt, on a donkey, as a king of peace? What was everybody thinking? Because we know that within 1 week, that the posture of everyone who is standing at the road on this day will have a completely different posture standing on the road as Jesus passes by only a week later. What happens between this week and that week to bring people from giving praise and shouts and Hosanna, you are our king, we are your people, and then a week later for their posture to be completely changed? I mean, we have that experience, I'm sure. Our posture can go from very happy to very angry really quickly. When somebody cuts us off in traffic, maybe we're headed somewhere and we can't wait to get there and we're happy, and then somebody cuts us off in traffic and all of a sudden we're angry. Our posture changes in a moment because of sin, doesn't it? If somebody gets in our way, if someone impedes us. I remember several years ago, and this dates me a little bit, but I'm sure everyone here this morning will remember, except for those who might be under 30. But there used to be these things called video stores. Do you remember those things? There was one called Blockbuster. If you think way back, like, I don't know, 10 years ago, way back. It was the Blockbuster, right? And I was taking my son. He would often go with me because he would help me pick out movies and he would want a game or something like that. And so we'd gone to Blockbuster. I guess my son was, I don't know, maybe 10 or 11, and he had his friend with him. So it was Camp, my son, and Nathan, his best friend. So we got out of the car and we went into Blockbuster. And maybe you remember the routine. On the wall, there were boxes that showed what this movie is, and then behind it, there would be tapes, maybe three deep. But sometimes you would just see the box, no tapes there, and you would wonder, has somebody just turned this in and it hasn't been reshelved yet? Maybe you remember that. And so there was an unspoken policy in the video store, in Blockbuster, that people who were going through the line were paying for, they already had their video or their game and they were paying for it. But if you wanted to know if this was in, you didn't have to wait all the way in the line until it came back around. No, you could just step to the front and say, because there's, three or four people back there, and you would ask the guy who's not at the register, hey, do you have this movie? Has anybody turned this one in? Everybody understood that, right? Well, on this day, there's a line there, and I'm just, kind of easing to the, it's like when you go to you're in a fast food store. You don't have to wait in line to ask for ketchup. Do you know what I mean? You can kind of skirt by and go, hey, can I get some ketchup? So I went with my video box to say, hey, do you have this movie in? And as I was asking the guy, there was a woman who was paying for her video. I think she may have been about 110 years old. She was way up there. The cute looking, sweet looking, little old sweet lady. And as I was asking about that, all of a sudden, she started screaming at me. You have to wait in line. You have to wait in line. And I was trying to explain to her, no, I'm just asking. I'm not trying to please, would you just for a moment? And she started dropping F-bombs on me to the top of her lungs in the middle of Blockbuster. So everybody's eyes were on me. And there was nothing I can do. What are you going to do? Come back hard at a 110-year-old lady? No, I think not. So I had to just stand there and take it. And I looked to my son and his friend for some help. Surely they will help explain what I'm doing. And they are rolling, laughing at me in my pain. So in one moment, I can go from asking about a movie to being angry. And I tell you, I was so angry inside. And so was she. She had embarrassed me in front of everybody. She didn't give me what I wanted. She didn't recognize the unspoken rules, and I'm angry. And she is saying he's trying to cut in front of me. And she's angry to the point of dropping F-bombs to the top of her lungs in Blockbuster. One moment. That's how quickly our temperature can rise. That's how selfish we are. That's how much we do not want to be impeded from being the king of our own lives. And that is exactly what's happening here. Within 1 week, postures changed, ideas changed. It went from joyful celebration to angry, murderous thoughts. Well, we get an idea of what kind of king this is in the beginning of the chapter it says, as they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into a village, and immediately as you enter it, you'll find a colt there, and bring that colt to me. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord Jesus has need of it, and immediately he will send it back here. And so they went away, they found the colt, and they brought it outside in the street, and they untied it. They spoke to them, many said, what are you doing untying the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus has told them. And they gave them permission. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and they put their coats on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their coats in the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. When Jesus comes riding on this colt, he's not a king who's riding on a war horse to dominate, to bring war. He comes in as a king of peace. It's just like the scripture had prophesied in Zechariah 9. Humble and mounted on a donkey will come your king to you. Even on a colt, the foal of a donkey, he will come to you. And he will speak peace to the nations. And the bow of war will be cut off. So the people should have expected this king of peace, but they wanted a king of war. They threw down their coats on the road and the palm branches on the road. In throwing down their cloaks on the road, this is an act of submission to say, we are your kingdom people. We are your subjects. We will follow you. You are our king. And when they lay down their palm branches, again, this is sort of symbolic of the nation of Israel. And they're saying, you are our anointed one. You are the king who's supposed to come. You're the Messiah. We're your people. So what they are saying in these moments as Jesus comes in, they are saying this, you're our king. We're your people. And then they're saying, Hosanna, which means save us. You're our king. We're your people. Save us. Now, why are they saying, save us? Why are they saying, Hosanna? Save from what? Well, Israel at this particular time was under the oppression of Rome. And so in many ways, they saw themselves like the people of old, way back in the Old Testament, who were under oppression, under the oppression of Pharaoh in Egypt, and they were slaves. So there was an oppressive king in an oppressive kingdom, and they were slaves. And here they're seeing themselves in the same way. They have a king who sold them out in King Herod. They're under the oppression of Caesar. They're in an oppressive kingdom called Rome, and they see themselves as slaves. They are taxed unfairly. They are treated unfairly. They are treated as second-class citizens. And so they're saying, free us from our oppression. Save us. Save us. Save us. But here's the thing. If you were paying attention over 3 years, over the 3 years of Jesus' ministry, when Jesus was teaching and going around the promised land, you would find this. These people who are saying, save me, save us from Roman oppression. These people who see themselves as slaves, who have been mistreated in a kingdom of oppression under an oppressive king who treated them as second-class citizens. They are saying to their king, save us. Deliver us from oppression. These very same people were also oppressing others. Were you paying attention all throughout the 3 years? They were oppressing people who had birth defects. They were throwing stones at a prostitute to kill her. They were casting away a woman found at the well because she had been married multiple times and judgment now was on her. If you were Samaria, you were oppressed by these people who treated you like you were nothing. And so Samaritans were oppressed and injured people and people with birth defects were oppressed and women were oppressed and children were oppressed. These very people who are saying, deliver us from oppression. We hate slavery. Make us the king so that we can make other people into slaves. Do they really hate this system of slavery? Or they're saying, we want you to change it. We want you to change the whole thing so that this will be a kingdom of love. Or are they saying this? Flip the script. Put us in charge so that we can be the taskmasters. Free us to enslave. Free us to dominate. The expectation was that Jesus on this day was going into the temple according to the scriptures. Malachi had told us what was going to happen, they thought. In Malachi 3:1-7, it says, behold, I'm going to send my messenger, Jesus, and he will clear the way before me. This is an allusion to Jesus cleansing the temple and bringing justice. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, said the Lord of hosts. And who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? And so the idea is this. You see, the presence of the Lord had departed from the temple in Jerusalem. And so the expectation was that the Messiah was going to come. And he was going to get off of that horse. And he was going to walk into the court of the Gentiles. And he was going to walk into the holy place. And he was going to walk right in behind the curtain where the glory of God had once been. And walking into the Holy of Holies, he would be ordained, anointed as the God-appointed Messiah. And when he came out of there, Romans would die. The oppressors would be killed. So far, Jesus is following the script. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. Hosanna, save us. Oh, you are our king. We are your kingdom people. And Jesus gets off of his colt, we hear in verse 11. And Jesus entered Jerusalem. And then Jesus got off his colt and came into the temple. It's about to happen. And after looking around at everything, he left. He left. Because when he walked into that temple, he did not come as a king to dominate. The Holy of Holies would not be inside of that temple. The Holy of Holies would be on a cursed hill. That would be the Holy of Holies that he would enter. And people were angry, people were disappointed that he did not go into there and emerge as the militant Messiah that they wanted to have. But let's say that he did walk into the temple that day. Let's say that he did walk into the Holy of Holies and then come out. The scripture says that who can endure that? If he had on that day did that, there would not be anyone left standing, because pure holiness would have emerged and no one would be able to stand before him. But instead, he made his Holy of Holies over on the cursed place, away from the temple. He made his Holy of Holies in a place of death, among the sick and the dying and the judged. And he took our place. Oh, the people were so angry when he left. What is he doing? I wonder if today when we cry for a king, you know, all around America today and really all around the world, Christians are doing the same thing that we're doing. We're waving palm fronds and saying, Hosanna, save us. Oh, King, we are your kingdom people, and you are our King. And I wonder how many of us have the very same expectation of Jesus that these people on that day had. What sort of king do we desire? Do we desire a king who will lift us out of oppression to be the oppressors? All over the nation, all over America today, Hosanna, save us. But what kind of king do we think King Jesus is? And what kind of kingdom do we think he brings? And what kind of slaves does he free, and free them to do what? And so often we get angry because he's not the kind of king we want him to be. And so we relegate him to just being a mascot, a brand, while we pursue a king who would help us dominate, who would help us oppress. And you say, well, Tim, that's the church isn't like that. The church, no, the church in America is not like that. I wonder. As a counselor and a pastor, I have seen countless cases, you guys, of churches who have abused children, women, staff people, pastors, girls who get pregnant out of wedlock. I've seen them oppress so many marginalized and so many hurting, and I've heard their stories. I've heard the story of a young man in ministry who had been carrying around all of his life a secret. When he was a child in his church, his dad was an elder, his mom active in the church, and they were a very prestigious family. And this young man was raped and molested by a male Sunday school teacher. It happened several times before he told his parents. And then going to his parents and going to his dad, told his parents what happened. And his parents said to him, "Don't tell anybody, because if this comes out, it will ruin the reputation of the church." What reputation? And so we so worship ourselves and want to prop ourselves up as this great kingdom that's pristine and sinless and beautiful, and our King is beautiful, and we are perfect, and He is perfect. And in keeping up that facade, we enable so much abuse. A wife who's being abused by her husband comes in to tell the pastor and the church leaders. He yells at me, he screams at me, he curses me. He holds me down. He forces himself on me. He beats me. And the response, so often, so many stories like this, it's unbelievable how many stories there are like this in the evangelical church in America. She is told, "Go back and submit to him." What? Huh? You are under his, we see husbands leading their wives, and instead of leading your wife, being laying down of your life and serving your wife, it's presented as domination. He has the right to do that. What? If Jesus came through today and we said, "King, and give us freedom, deliver us from oppression," in being freed, would we then want to take the place of domination and oppress others? Or are we seeing the King for who he is, the King of love, not the King of oppression, not the King of domination, but the King who went to the poor, the King who went to the demoniac, the King who rescued the woman about to be stoned, the King who went to the paralyzed, the King who stayed in a leper colony, that King who comes to the poor in spirit, who comes to those who are waiting and hurting, and he rescues them with love, not to dominate, but he sets them free. The King of love calls us into a kingdom of love to be free from oppression that we might love. And if you are in King Jesus today, you have been freed by him to love, not to dominate. My daughter works at Chick-fil-A. And she told us a story of just the other day. A man was coming through the drive-thru, and he started yelling and screaming at this poor little middle school girl, or, you know, early high school girl. And Callie saw it, and she went over and put her hand around the girl and pushed her and pulled her over behind. And that guy's attention turned to her, and that guy began to curse her because the line wasn't moving fast enough, yelling, screaming, and cursing at her. Oh, don't you see that that's what Jesus did for us? He steps in front to take the oppression, to take the pain, to take as a criminal the King of Love with the Kingdom of Love sets us free to love. I close with this. This morning, got an email from a pastor friend. Listen to this. Hello, friends. I'm writing to ask you for prayer. I am bottomed out emotionally, and I'm despairing. I don't want to share the whole story, but in a nutshell, I stood up for a young church planter friend and his church in our denomination. And now it seems that I am being targeted because I stood up for him. There are powerful men, particularly two in our denomination, who push my friend and his church out to dissolve the church. And this man had done nothing wrong. These two men are also on the committee that deals with pastors, so they want to meet with me because I fought alongside someone who is being attacked. I don't want to meet with them, and actually I'm seeking legal counsel because I don't trust these people. I'm fearful for my job and my church. I know this is raw, but it's where I'm at this moment. Please, please pray for me. This is from a pastor that I've known for 30 years. I knew him when he was in college. I've known him so long. And he has preached the gospel, and he has loved well. Guys, you cannot ask for a more loving pastor than this man. And he's being attacked for preaching the gospel from the church. What? Let's look into our hearts today. And let's ask ourselves this question. What kind of king do we want? Do we want a king of dominance? In a kingdom of dominance who will free us to be kings and princes of dominance over our own little fiefdom? Or do we want the King of Love who brings the kingdom of self-sacrificial love to set us free from slavery to the world, the flesh, and the devil so that we might be freed to love and serve and give our life just as Christ gave his? Help us, Lord Jesus. Amen.